Welcome to the Event Ready Podcast. We are going to spill the tea about the roller coaster ride of being in the world of live event artistry.
So if you're a painter, calligrapher, or illustrator, this podcast is for you because we're about to uncover the secrets, the stories, and the struggles in the industry. So I'm your host, Michelle.
And I'm Talisa. So get your tea ready. So we both left our jobs to be a full-time artist.
But we're not starving artists.
We're pretty thriving. And we're going to share you how we got here today. But I think first, let's introduce ourselves of who we are, what we do, and who we work with. Do you want to start, Michelle?
Yeah, okay. So I'm Michelle, and I'm from Hawaii. And I am also an artist. So I'm the founder of Juniper Calligraphy, and I do calligraphy and painting as a live service for high-end brands. I also love teaching through an online bottle painting course.
And I'm Talisa from Canada. So I started Rosin Art in 2012 as a portrait artist. Now I provide personalization for corporates and brands with calligraphy, illustration and painting at their events. So I partner with many notable brands, and I also teach engraving as well as bottle painting course with Michelle, and we have students all over the world.
Yes. So our mission of this podcast is really to educate and entertain all about the live event industry. We also want to share trends and ideas so that we can inspire each other and shoot for the stars.
Yes. But before we shoot for the stars, let's go back to the earth. And let's just talk about how we started. Like, Michelle, how did you land your first live event opportunity? Can you tell us?
Yeah. So there was an agency that actually found me through Instagram. And from there, they subcontracted a job for a high-end lifestyle brand. This was for complimentary calligraphy on little note cards for their clients after they purchased something from their boutique store. So it was a public event. But yeah, that was mine. What about you, Talisa?
So I launched my website on February 2019. 6 months after that, a PR agency actually found me through Google, and they reached out to me on my website to do a live calligraphy on notebooks and ornaments. It was for a media event, so the guests were, I guess, public figures in the media industry, the ones who are very well known in Toronto, as well as some influencers. So it was more of a private event. It was high volume. The volume was set. Now, the private events usually have a really high volume, so it was pretty hectic. And it was an invite only event, so. Yeah.
Yeah. Private place. So as we talked about, there are like two type of events that we can really do our skills at and add value to the company. So this includes a public event like the one that I did, and then a private event like yours, Talisa.
Yeah. So typically public events are usually in store, or it could be like a pop-up. And then the purpose is to bring traffic so that people can open up their wallets or just to appreciate very important clients. Basically to make them feel like old money vibes.
Oh, we love that old money vibe. And then from there, there's also private events. So these are usually brand activations where the brand itself is promoting a new product or a campaign. And then they invite influencers, other buyers, and people in the media to bring awareness to what they're trying to do, which basically means to boost their sales.
Yeah. So basically it has the same purpose, like those two public and private events. But another private event could be just for appreciation of the guest or the client. It could be corporate event, or, you know, like employee appreciation event. I personally have been involved in that. or it could be weddings, right? Private wedding. And basically just the key is appreciation and making happy memories. And you are providing the personalized experience through life art. So there are wedding painters, or you could be doing portraits. You could be, doing engraving on wine glasses and all that. So yeah, so they're all done live. But
yeah, but one, there's one thing to mention though. So these don't always need to be done live. The calligraphy or the illustration that we do can be done in your studio. You can do it right at home or wherever you work at. It really depends on what your client wants. So the gifting experience is still very much in demand. And if you're not comfortable with doing this on site, like doing calligraphy, engraving, or painting in front of an audience, this really could be for you to do it in the comfort of your home. Like I still do a lot over here too. I just had like a really big envelope order that I did right here. So doing calligraphy in your home, it's very comfortable. You can like watch movies at the same time, but that's one of the options. Another option.
Yeah. I actually just finished a bunch of wine glasses for, I think it was for a corporate event. It was for a brand. I don't know who the attendees is. What I find personally that I struggle with when I'm doing this in studio is that I get very, very distracted because they gave me a very long deadline. So I rarely ever get a rush order. Actually, usually if it's rush, I just cannot take it because I have too many things going on already. But yeah, it's very hard for me to focus. What would take me a day could literally take me like 3 days. So, I'm not very good at that. I will take it if I have the capacity, but you know, some people are really good at like, you know, doing all of that at home and being able to focus. But personally, I need to be supervised.
I'm also an unsupervised adult without a bedtime, and I have like all these orders around me that I'm like, oh, that's not due yet. But like when you go on site, you're so much more focused. You're like, oh, the customer's watching me.
Exactly. Like I'm not going to be like checking my phone, or like, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, playing with my pad and whatnot. it's really hard. I personally find it really hard, but
yeah, no Netflix there.
But this podcast is all about live event, like where you're doing it in front of the audience, doing it live and whatnot. So that's what the tea is going to be all about.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So now I actually get a lot of people ask this question, how you could land your first event opportunity. So we're going to talk about that. So this could be like the CTA kind of thing. So you can, if you want to take notes. So we've categorized 5 different ways on how to land your first live event opportunity. The first one would be having a website. Just as with my experience, the first thing that people would do is always Google, right? So that's, I guess it's like a habit that everybody has. You always Google search. Right. And your website is basically a digital real estate that you can show that you own to show your that you're a professional. And so you would be showing your best portfolio, showing your case and what you do and whatnot. So there's obviously some learning about SEO, which is the search engine optimization, but that is the bare minimum. So there's a lot of resources out there about how to optimize your SEO, and I don't think we're gonna get into details about that, but it's not enough to only just have a website. So it shouldn't stop there.
No. So the next thing from there would be having a social media presence. So myself and Talisa, we've both gotten inquiries from Instagram, also surprisingly from TikTok by brands and customers. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the marketing team of these brands, you know, the people who search for the talents, they actually use social media because they're already on it and they can see your portfolio, they can see your personal branding, they can also see your how you look and your own style. And so they can visualize what it would look like to actually work with you, to have you in their store, to be, you know, doing your art right in front of the customers. So you really need to have this to have clarity on what you want to be presenting to your audience through your social media networks.
Yeah, I've actually had some notable brand that have asked me to share them my Instagram, I guess to really visualize what you know, what's it like to work with you. So it's really important that you set, you know, you showcase yourself that you're a professional artist who can do this. And the next thing is referral. So I think we all need to appreciate that we're all a community, not a competition. The people in your market are your colleagues. I always refer them as colleagues. If I can't do a job because I'm already booked, I would tell my client, I'm going to refer you to a colleague of mine. And so that can be because, you know, like I can be in two places at once and, you know, sometimes I just don't have the capacity because, I mean, I love this job so much, but I don't want to work too much, right? So it's great that you could be friends with the people in your market. Again, they're not your competition, but you also need to still show, you know, your skills too, the quality, at least like at par with the people in your market. I'm going to say, I think last year during the holiday season, I was able to refer so many jobs during the holiday season itself at a booked value of approximately $40,000. I'm not even kidding you. It was a lot because there's also the in-studio and then, a lot of live events as well. So it's definitely a good idea to be friends with the people in your area.
So then be friends with Talisa
and Michelle, whoever's in Hawaii.
This is so good. I love what you said about like they're not your competition. Like we're not trying to be mean to anybody or, you know, mm-hmm. we really want to think like community over competition because there is more than enough to go around. There's opportunities that we haven't even uncovered yet. There's so much possibilities. It's not like our job where there's a cap. With what we do, there's no cap. You can create the opportunities. You can find them. Maybe people don't even know that you exist yet. Like that's how much there are out there. Like imagine if every brand knew about what we do, it would be so endless. But yeah, I love that. So people in Toronto.
And Hawaii.
Yes. So there's that. That was number three, referrals. I'm going to go on to number four, which is networking. So with this one, you can be networking with event professionals who are in the live event industry already. So this could be people like the wedding planners, the event coordinators. This is the best way to market yourself through word of mouth, especially when someone like these people can do the pitching for you after they've seen your work. So there's some wedding planners in my area who have seen my bottle painting recently, and they're going to have me do some products for them that they can give out to their clients or even other wedding planners in the industry. So it's just by, you know, showing your work and then pretty much they will go off and do the pitching for you. So that would be networking.
Word of mouth is really, really strong than pitching for yourself. And speaking of pitching, which is the fifth way, so this is a really hot topic, pitching. I think it has worked for me in the beginning. I actually have done some pitching. I did an in-store pitching, and the client actually still loyalty, like they loyally still work with me. So thankful of that. But I've also seen some of my students have actually pitched in person, and it actually, it works out sometimes, not all the time. Obviously, that is the factor of you being hired or not is because the budget, the planning, and all that. But sometimes you can get lucky, right? But I do notice that there's so many different ways of pitching, right? And there are also like, cold email pitches. But I personally feel, and I have witnessed it, that I don't think cold email pitches work. Like, especially if you're sending like hundreds of them, if you have never had any prior relationship with them, it doesn't work. Now, the reason being is if you put yourself in a situation where you're getting an email from someone and sending you a link and or like PDF, I probably would not want to open it because I would assume that it's a spam. I mean, there's just so many spams nowadays that I'm like super careful about it. So if I don't know this person, no one has introduced me to this person. Like, there's a difference. If someone is introducing me to them, that's a different story. That's like, there's that bit of trust. But I feel like if it's completely stranger and you're sending out hundreds of like email cold pitches, that it's very, very hard that it would actually be successful. But yeah, I don't think it works. I feel like, I don't know. I think quality pitching is better than going with the quantity, right? I personally don't pitch often. Michelle, you don't pitch either, right?
No,
You usually just
no.
get,
It just feels ick when you do cold pitching.
just nowadays with the it just I don't even personally like it having weird suddenly I like I get people like sending me pitches on LinkedIn too, and I'm just like, why are you selling me your service?
Know.
Like, you don't even know what I'm doing, like what I do. So it's like, I think it's better to have that relationship. However, it can work if you already have the relationship, like you've already worked with them, or maybe it you didn't work together, like they had some sort of relationship before, but it just didn't work out last time. Maybe you could like remind them, hey, I'm still available for this holiday season, or like Valentine's Day or whatever. As long as there is that bit of trust, then I think it might work. But I think cold pitches doesn't work.
No.
Because I just feel like, I don't know, it's a bit pushy sometimes. And I'm sure maybe one of the hundreds it might work, sure, but I wouldn't want to waste my time sending 100 emails or 200
No.
emails.
I think,
Two
well,
hundred
like, let's say
emails.
you meet someone in person very briefly. Maybe it's like the store manager, and you're like, hi, hello. You only have less than 5 minutes. You can get the email and then do like a customized pitch through email after that, after you have created some sort of rapport with them. And then you can go on to email. Like, that is still
That's
considered
okay.
pitching, but you created something prior to
Yes,
sending this email.
exactly. So it's less weird. And that's like, you also have some sort of consent from that in-person interaction that you can send an email to them. And I think that's okay.
They
And
would
that's
be
usually how it
more,
works.
they would be more likely to open your email and actually read it instead of flag it as junk.
And it could also be if you got someone's contact from somebody, and you can say like, I got your contact from this such and such, and that such and such person should be someone that they trust. That also works too. That kind of cold email pitch might work. Because like, oh, okay, well, I trust this person. Maybe this person has something that could be valuable for our business. So that works too. But if it's a completely random stranger, it's a no.
It's a no.
It's a no, dog. It's a no. Yeah.
No, it's a no. So we talked about 5 different ways of doing this, but what is the best way? And the answer is there is no best way to do it. You really just have to put yourself out there, try it out, and see what works for you and the market that you're currently in.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that whole 5 things is like you're marketing yourself, right? But before we market ourselves, you know, before we, like, as in me and Michelle, how we got to here today, we did our homework. You know, we built portfolio, we continuously improve our work, because that's a never ending journey. And we establish ourselves as a seasoned professional in the life event art. So yeah, so we understood the assignment. So you want to, before you market yourself, you need to build a portfolio. But so for these are for the people who are new to this concept of live event artistry.
So for those of you who are new to this concept of live event artistry and you're an artist, you may be wondering what is the first step that you need to do to get into these live event gigs.
Okay, so first you need to understand the market. You need to kind of see in your city, is there demand for it? Because there are some places that there is no demand at all. So you want to make sure that you're in a market where this is kind of already being done. If not, can you start the market? I mean, you could. Technically, you could probably start with like a wedding, or like corporate events. It is very, very possible that you could. You just have to pitch the idea to the event planners and whatnot. So you need to get that buy-in. It is definitely obviously harder to create the market than when you're already in the market that already asked, that already have the demand. So typically when you're in a metropolitan city, there is usually the market for it. Then if you were in a small town. Then again, like I said, you could start maybe with a wedding or corporate events, which is totally possible. It's just that you have to convince, you have to get a buy-in from the event planners. So if you're not sure, this is for someone who's, you know, who's still learning about the concept of live event art. If you go to any high-end store, you know, if you want to know if there is a market or not, if you go to high-end, have you ever seen a personalization? If you've seen it, then there is a demand, whether it is by machine or by an artist. And then that's, you know, where you can actually sell your art, sell your skills into the store.
Yeah. So if you do see this person, then in the high-end store, then you know that there is a demand for live event art. And so once you realize this, you can go on to taking pictures of your work as if it were a paid project, not a practice. And what do I mean by that? So you want to have a nice background, make sure the quality is good. And, you know, this background could be anything. Like for me, I actually use my wedding dress as the background. I want everything to be white and to really make that product stand out. So you're going to go ahead and pretty much hire yourself and showcase your work as best as you can. So if you have capacity, you can hire a photographer, or nowadays the smartphone is amazing. Like they have so many cameras on it that you can take really good quality photos. They even have like the portrait mode where you can have like, you know, a little blurry background focusing on your face, or you can do that same concept with your products. And then from there, you can edit everything yourself. So they have great apps like Snapseed and Lightroom, which are both free. You can do so much edits, and we're not going to get into that, but you can do things where you can make it brighter. You can cut out like things around the side. There's just so many things that you can do. So really, you don't want to skip that part, because when people see things, they really like everything that we see, everything that we want, we see it first. And that is how we go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the magic is in the editing. It's the most important part. Mm-hmm. So once you have, your pictures, which is your portfolio, then you want to start marketing yourself. And that's basically what we mentioned earlier, the five ways of how you're being hired. You can be hired, or you can land your first opportunity is that website, social media, through referral, networking, as well as pitching.
Five ways. Okay.
All right. So we covered quite a lot on our first episode here.
Yes.
So you want to imagine that you've sharpened your skill. You know that you have the skills of being, whether it's a calligrapher, illustrator, or a painter, and you want to try this life event thing. But you still don't understand the assignment. And marketing, it's, you know what, to a lot of artists, marketing is really hard. But this is why we like to talk about it. So if marketing isn't your strongest subject, we're going to spill some more secrets that work for us. So,
if you're ready to level up and position yourself as a professional in the live art industry, stay tuned for the next episode.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you next episode. Bye.
See you soon. Bye.